And it's always good to hear the recording being in progress. That tells us that we are truly started. So I want to welcome every one of you to our evening and our start to the weekend retreat. And the theme of the retreat is to boldly go. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But firstly, it's lovely to have you all here. And we probably placed and arrived from different places. So I thought if you wanted to, I would invite you to write next to your name, maybe where you're based, so we can get a little bit of a sense where you're coming from, because we're going to go on a journey together to one land. But it's quite nice to know where everybody is coming from. And you can just do it by clicking on more and writing, where you're from. And look, it was worth it knowing that we've got somebody from Stockholm joining us for today. So who knows what treasures and from far lands we're coming from. So warm welcome to our retreat, our weekend retreat. We'll spend time together tonight and on Saturday and Sunday, except whenever we are on a retreat, time and space expands and shrinks and does its own thing. So it will be a weekend retreat, but a lot can happen in that time. And I want to introduce Bodhilila. So Bodhilila, hopefully you'll see a picture of her now. There she is with Amoghasiddhi, who is the Buddha of the retreat, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. So Bodhilila is our chair from West London and a beautiful practitioner. And I love practicing with Bodhilila and always feel that there is a great depth and grounding, and we can go places with Bodhilila. So Bodhilila will be one of the retreat leaders with myself. My name is Pranyanita, and usually I do more sort of admin aspects of the center, but not this weekend. This weekend I'm going mythical and mysterious with Bodhilila. And our third person is Patricia, and Patricia will be hosting for us. So we'll be just doing the sort of technical aspect. And Patricia is a real generous being who's a lovely presence to have on our team. So I'm delighted that she can be hosting this weekend. So this is our team. If you need anything during the retreat, let us know. And I'll pass over to Bodhilila, who will tell us a little bit more about practicalities of the retreat.
Okay, so very big welcome. Lovely to see you all here. I was feeling really excited this morning, thinking, oh, we've got a retreat happening. And really looking forward to exploring Amoghasiddhi with you all. And working with Pranyanita, who isn't just admin, she does a lot of teaching and she's got a very strong practice. So I know it's going to be a strong retreat. So what am I saying? Oh yeah, well, some of you may have been on an online retreat before. I mean, I know there's some faces that I see who've been on some of our online retreats before, but some people may not. So I just thought I'd say a little bit about being on an online retreat, because it's not quite the same if you've been on an in-person retreat and you've gone away from your home and you're usually staying at somewhere in the country, a little bit away from everything. It might have taken you some time to get there, so there's been a whole sort of transition in the journey. And this time would be sort of, well, probably you might be having supper or something, but there'd be a whole sort of like finding your rooms and getting yourself settled, getting a sense of the place, maybe going for a walk, having a cup of tea with somebody and having a little bit of a chat, getting a sense of who else is on the retreat. But there's a whole different level to it where we're just going straight in, you know, because we're online. You might have been doing something right up to, you know, 5 minutes ago, and then suddenly you're on this retreat with no transition whatsoever. But now that we've started it, it's probably quite good to just be aware that transitions are really important on an online retreat. So maybe try to find a little bit of time before the session starts, and when you come out of the session again, not just going straight into whatever activity or chatting or whatever. If you are able to, you know, keep this weekend as a weekend of practice, that's great. If you're doing other things alongside it, just take a little bit more care for yourself around that. And maybe if you're living with people, let them know that you're on retreat and what might support you being on the retreat. Yeah. Yeah, and I would suggest that if you are able to simplify your life a little bit and not have so much input this weekend, it's not long a weekend, you'll get a lot more out of the retreat. There'll be more of a sort of continuity of practice. You're more likely to go into a deeper space through the days, rather than if you do a session and then binge watch something on Netflix and then come along to a session and then surfing the net or whatever. So it's an invitation, you know. And yes, if you're not used to being on Zoom, you have options. If you want to, I've just realised because my computer broke, so I was having to do it on a laptop, on an iPad, so it was different. But either at the top or at the bottom, you get a whole load of things like whether you want to mute yourself, whether you want to stop the video. You can check participants, get a list of who's here. You can click on the chat, and if you want to post chat either to everyone or you can post privately to one of the team, you can do that. And then there's a sort of smiley face that says reactions, and if you want, you can click on that and you can do things like clap and do a thumbs up and stuff like that. And if you don't know how to name yourself or rename yourself, usually if you go up into the top right hand corner, there's three dots and you get a drop down that says rename, and then you can just put in your name and then you get a new name. So for instance, when Pranjanita was inviting people, if they wanted to say where they were, you'd have to do that under the rename function. And so it would have your name and then you'd add it, you know. And I think we will be doing quite a lot of meditation, and we'll be doing some devotional practice, and we'll also be doing some, having some teaching input and having some discussion groups on the retreat. And we'll be on Zoom quite a lot. So we're having like an hour in the morning for meditation, an hour and a half at 10:30, another and a half at 4:00. And then on Saturday night, we've got 1 hour for a ritual. So it can be quite a lot of time to be online. So if you find it helps you to be on the retreat to stop your video, or, you know, feel free to do that. If you need to get up, walk around, shake about, lie down, that's fine. Do what you need to participate. But just also being aware that being here, we're supporting each other's practice. That's one of the things about being on a retreat, whether it's a physical retreat or an online retreat. We kind of co-create a community just for this time, a community of practice, exploring the theme together, meditating together, doing ritual together. And you being here is supporting everybody else on the retreat, and you can also allow everybody else's presence to support you on the retreat. It may be there sometimes when something feels a bit challenging or a bit whatever, and you can just, in a way, use the support of the community. You know, you don't have to say anything, but just know that they're there practicing with you. So we do have groups a couple of times in the afternoons on Saturday and Sunday, small groups, and you'll stay in the same groups both times. And you know, if you really, really don't want to be in the group, you can let us know. But it is quite a nice thing to connect up with other people and also to be able to sort of share your experiences or ask questions and that kind of stuff on the retreat. So do feel free to do that. But within that, you know, to say as little or as much as you want within that time. So I think that sort of practical stuff about being on an online retreat. But there are also some practical things about how we run the retreat. So on a normal retreat, you'd have somebody who's in the role called an organizer, and they'd be, you know, allocating bedrooms. And, you know, if you'd forgotten your toothpaste, they'd be helping you with that. And they'd be sorting out all the stuff about people who were snoring and anything else practical, yeah. People's diets, and they've forgotten to tell anybody in advance. So we don't need to do any of that stuff here. That's one of the advantages of being on a retreat at home, because you can have your own food. You don't have to worry about all the other people snoring at night. You can sleep in your own bed. But another thing that the organizer does is just keep an eye on people and, in a way, sometimes be a liaison between the retreatants and the retreat leaders. So what we're doing, instead of having somebody in that role, is there's, if you want to just contact the leaders, you can either do that privately in the chat or by using the teaching@westlondonbuddhistcentre.com email. Then you could, you know, just send an email and then we'll know that you want to get in touch, or there's an issue or something, or maybe, yeah. So that's there for you. And there will be a retreat website where all the sessions will be recorded, and all the material that we're using, like the poems and things like that, will be available for you. But that will be available at the end of the retreat. So probably by Monday night, it'll be up. And then you can, you know, revisit stuff, and it'll be there as a resource going forward. And we will let you have the link for that later. And I think the only other thing I just wanted to mention is that in the morning meditations at 8 o'clock, it's really nice to be able to sort of enter quite quietly. So not just saying hi, you know, it's nice to be friendly to each other. But at that point, early in the morning, I think most people just want to get into their practice. So if you can enter quietly, maybe be on mute, and we'll just have a sort of silent entry for the morning meditations. And also leave it silently, because people might be wanting to meditate or might be meditating on when you've stopped. So just saying, oh, bye, might be a little bit disruptive, yeah. And yeah, try and come maybe 5 minutes early for a session, just because there can be issues with Zoom. And it gives you a little bit of time to sort of settle in. And yeah, because we would like to try and start the sessions pretty much on time. And I think we will be doing that anyway. So if you get there a little bit early, then it gives you a little bit of time to arrive. So I think that's all I'm going to say now. So what we're going to be doing in this, the rest of this session, as Panyanita said, is we're going to have a dedication ceremony and a little bit of meditation. She's going to introduce us to the theme of the retreat. And then we're going to be doing some more practice. I'll be doing some mantra and an invocation to Omega Siddhi, and we're going to do some more meditation to end. So that will be the session tonight. So I'm going to pass you back to Panyanita now.
Thank you, Bodhilila. So as Bodhilila said, it's important to have transition times and be able to arrive and settle in and come to a space and place to be where we feel ready for practice, ready for explorations. So we will do this in a ritual way through dedication ceremony. And dedication ceremony, we use verses that we do in call and response. So I'll be calling the verses, and Bodhilila will be responding, And I'd like to invite you, if you feel moved to respond with Bodhilila to the verses, then there's that opportunity to do that. And the verses really are a way of ourselves orientating ourselves towards what is it that we want to do in the next while, in the next few days that we have ahead. So it's an opportunity for us to get in touch with that sort of motivation and aspiration that we might want to, that might seem important to us. So in the dedication ceremony, some people might be veterans and have heard a dedication ceremony many times and will know the lines by heart. And some of you might hear it for the first time. So there might be words in there that I just want to let you know about before, just so you feel connected and know what we're saying. So in the dedication ceremony, we talk about precepts. And precepts are really, they're kind of guidelines for ourselves, for our ethical behavior. And they allow us to see where we are and where we want to be and see what we want to, our actions to be like. So that's precepts. And later we will talk about lotus petals. Lotus is a very Buddhist, important Buddhist symbolism, and similar to a vajra. I'll talk about vajra wall. And vajra wall is like a sort of a thunderball that is protecting and unifying, a very strong symbol. And in a way, what we will be doing is creating a sacred space together through the dedication ceremony, through the verses. And when we're talking about lotus petals and vajra walls, it's just an imagery that allows us to have protection and receptivity around us, so we can be in the middle of what we call a mandala. Mandala is a place, a sacred space that we are really on a retreat trying to create together, so we can practice and work with our minds and hearts. And in a way, what that allows us to move our mind in the verses, it talks from samsara to nirvana. But what that really means is that we're looking at changing the way that we are, our mind heart works normally in our everyday, with all greed, hatred, delusion underneath it. And we're trying to move towards nirvana, which is an enlightened way of being, where we've got slightly different perspective, in the sense that there is lots of spaciousness, kindness and compassion. So these are some of the imagery that we will be using in the dedication ceremony, and it's a way for us to connect with each other and to create together that kind of mandala, sacred space for practice, for the retreat. So we will do that in call and response, and when we finish the verses, we'll just sit for about 5 minutes after that. And I'll ring the bell at the end. So I would invite you to find a posture, way of sitting, way of being that will support you through this dedication ceremony and a short sit. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
To the Buddha, the ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Buddha, the ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma, the path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Dharma, the path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha, the spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
To the Sangha, the spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech, and mind.
With body, speech, and mind.
We dedicate this retreat.
we dedicate this retreat.
for having dedicated our retreat together. I'm going to say a little bit about the theme or themes of this retreat to that we are embarking on. And the retreat is called To Boldly Go. And it does carry on where no one has gone before. You might be familiar with Star Trek, but I'm going to leave that bit to Bodhilila because I'm sure by no doubt it might come up as that is one of Bodhilila's expertises. So we are definitely going. And in some ways with the dedication ceremony, it allows us to have that sort of transition, change of mode. And I was, when I was reflecting on the retreat and starting with the dedication and then thinking about what to say about the theme, what came to mind is sometimes the journey I would take from a city into, I come from Czech Republic, into cottages that we have in the countryside. And what happens is you go on fast trains, first of all. And as you get closer and closer to these places of absolute beauty and nature and gorgeousness, the trains get smaller and smaller. So it's almost like one carriage train, and you go through valleys and through lots of trees, and you can sense and smell the nature and being out of the urban space and being somewhere in the midst of beauty. So in a way, for us, dedication ceremony allows us to make that transition where we move from one way mode of being and we allow ourselves and begin to create conditions for another way of being. So this retreat is really exploring about what is it to go with boldness and fearlessness, and where, you know, where is it that we're going with boldness and fearlessness? And where we're going is we're going to the land of Amoghasiddhi. And Amoghasiddhi is really, we're using this symbolism and archetypes to capture or communicate qualities of the historical Buddha and what he was trying to teach after getting enlightened. And the archetypes and symbolism allows us to communicate different qualities. It allows us to communicate a particular way of being, the nature of being, and also get us in touch with experience, having a particular experience through the imaginary, through archetypal, through symbolism. So in Buddhism, the enlightened mind of the historical Buddha can sometimes be depicted through archetypal Buddhas. And there are five of these archetypal Buddhas. And Amoghasiddhi is really one of them. They're all associated with a color. And Amoghasiddhi is the color green. He's one of the five. And Amoghasiddhi, Amogha means unobstructed or infallible. And Siddhi means success or accomplishments. Again, like reflecting on it, I was thinking about the word Siddhi, and sometimes I use this word Siddhi. You know, when you meditate and when you practice, sometimes you can develop these, you could call it special powers, but you become quite sensitive, and sometimes these different powers are called Siddhis. And it's just only made me realize Amoghasiddhi. Yeah, so infallible accomplishment or unobstructed success, unobstructed accomplishment. You could translate his name. And what is this land that we're going into? What is it like? I think I might actually Maybe share a screen. Yeah, let's do that with you. So here we go. Hopefully you see a picture. Where we're going. We're going into sort of still sunshine out there at the moment, but we are definitely moving. We are definitely at the right time of the evening, moving towards the evening and later into the night. And we're going in the north direction, and we're going towards a place with a midnight sky where there is a country of green pines and lots of forests and a real wilderness. And in that space, we will encounter rustlings of the pine trees and cries and sounds of owls. And we'll see palace with jades and emeralds. So we're going into this land, imaginary land, which is full of forests, greenery, and a little bit like the nature at the moment. It's totally on fire with blooming and being active and just celebrating being green. So that's where we're going with this. So the Green Buddha, and we've got an image of Amoghasiddhi on the screen. So Amoghasiddhi comes from a Karma family, and Karma family, what that means is that it's associated with action and really volition. So it's about sort of putting into place and directing actively our life, which directions we want our life to go, and putting those kind of volition in place. So karma really means just actions, and it's actions of thoughts, of speech, and of interacting with others. So sometimes we say the actions of body, speech, and mind in Buddhism. And I want to share with you a poem. It's actually not a poem, it's a reading by Ajahn Chah, and I'll explain that in a moment. But here it is. Try to be mindful and let things take their natural course. Then your mind will become still in any surroundings, like clear forest pool. All kinds of wonderful rare animals will come to drink at the pool, and you will see the nature of all things. You will see many strange and wonderful things come and go, but you will be still. This is the happiness of the Buddha. So I love the imagery that comes in there, and that reading came to mind when I was reflecting on Amoghasiddhi, the whole sort of pools, the forests. It reminds me of the imagery where Amoghasiddhi might be based, what his land looks like. And it made me sort of reflect on the idea of what it is to boldly go that we will explore on this retreat. And in that quote, there was this idea of mindfulness leading to stillness and that bringing about happiness. And in some ways, there is equanimity that arises out of that. And I think it'll be really interesting for us to explore on the retreat this idea between stillness and action, and where it is, where on that spectrum is it to boldly go. And I think it's very pertinent at this particular time that we're finding ourselves, and I know we've got people from Chicago as well and from Stockholm, but in the UK at the moment, we're just sort of coming a little bit more out of the lockdown situations where there was a lot of stillness for us. where there was a lot of sort of quietness, where lots of us retreated almost for a year, and now we're stepping back into the world. So there is something about exploring this stillness and action, and how can we, how can you individually go, boldly go in this? And what else we're going to look at is who is actually going. So looking deep within ourselves and looking at who is going. So we'll look at integration and sort of what's going for us, you know, the sort of pullings and pushings. And maybe that will be this unification of opposites that we can explore a little bit over the weekend. And we'll use the symbol of the Vajra, which is on the screen. We'll use that particular imagery quite a bit throughout the retreat to look at how do we work with polarization and move beyond things, us and the world, this kind of duality, oppositionals, how we can unite things and how we can unite forces within ourselves as well. So what does that mean for us, and who is it that's going anywhere boldly? And another theme that will definitely come up is this whole idea of fearlessness and boldness. So something about around this whole idea, what gives us actually confidence? What is confidence within spiritual life? And how, what are the ways that we can work with our fears and our anxieties? And in some ways we will go deep into the forest and we'll hear the cries. And what are the cries? What are those cries? What do they mean for us? And what is crying out? So hopefully we can explore that and also looking at what might be getting sometimes in the way. In Buddhism, we might talk about poisons like envy. So some obstacles that might be in our way in order to integrate, unite, and in some ways get ourselves out of the way. When Bodhidila wrote the blurb for the retreat, when you've booked, there is a quote by Marianne Williamson, and she says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us." So I hope that we will get to explore, what is it to be powerful beyond measure for you over the weekend? And what can we learn from Amoghasiddhi to take on our path and to boldly go? So I'll hand over to Bodhilila and we'll have a little bit of practice together.
Thank you, Bernanita. I think you really set us off there with the theme and where we're going to be hopefully exploring. And I guess the whole thing about to boldly go where no one has gone before, it is an exploration, isn't it? Going out, Star Trek crews going out into space, never know what they're going to encounter. We're going into a different kind of a space, but not knowing what we're going to encounter, you know. Particularly when we explore our minds and our hearts, when we go inward with meditation, but also the actions in our lives and the interactions. So Amoghasiddhi, they're very mysterious, these archetypal Buddhas. And Well, you can explain them in terms of archetype and where they might have come historically. And are they real? Are they not real? To me, it doesn't really matter. I went through a whole lot of thinking about all of that. But I find that for me, my heart just wants to connect, not just with teachings and lists that you get a lot of in Buddhism, but there's something on a sort of deeper level. My unconscious likes symbol, likes image, likes to have some figure to make a connection with, be in relationship with, be inspired by or challenged by or supported by or feel their protection. And Amoga Siddhi, I think, at this particular time is really helpful because he gives you that support around your actions and around working with fear and anxiety. So what we're going to do is we're going to have an invocation to Amoga Siddhi, which will be, in a way, calling on him, calling on his presence, trying to get into a relationship with him. And then we're going to call on him in another way by chanting his mantra. So mantras, we often find mantras are used as part of ritual, part of devotional practice. But mantra chanting can be a practice in itself, and we will be doing some of that over the course of the retreat, where we just take a simple mantra and repeat it again and again and again. Hopefully it'll get you out of your thinking mind. It's something that you can feel in your body, the vibrations, the effects of it. It gets the energy going. And it's different with the different mantras, different Buddhas. We've just been coming out of a year when we were focusing on Amitabha and doing quite a lot of chanting his mantra, and I feel chanting Amoga Siddhi's mantra has a particularly different quality to it. And let's just see what effect it has. Yeah. But when we chant a mantra, we're trying to connect with that Buddha, we're trying to connect with their qualities, we're trying to connect with ourselves, with that potential and all those qualities within ourselves as well. And with Amoga Siddhi, it may be that there are certain bits of the symbolism, that the things he represents appeal to you, and other ones he leave you cold. But in a way, the invocation is touching on some of them, if any of them respond, or maybe you just like the colour. Maybe you just like the idea of fearlessness, or the sense of action. Acting in the world, acting skillfully in the world with an effect that's has benefits for yourself and others. But anyway, when we do the mantra, feel free to join in or not join in, but I'm going to invite you to give it a go, even if you've never chanted mantra before. And not worry about what you're doing, just do it and see what happens. Yeah, it's not going to, you know, even if you're not a Buddhist, chanting the mantra is not going to make you a Buddhist, but it might get your energy going. It might take you into a different place. You might have an experience that you, you know, you enjoy or that you find helpful. And if you don't want to, then that's fine too. Just listen to the mantra. And maybe think a little bit about reflecting on Amoga Siddhi and his qualities while you're listening. So we'll have the invocation, we'll do the mantra, and then we'll have a period of meditation. And meditation is one of those interesting things where we're kind of going inward, but we are still part of the world. And there's action and there's lack of action. We're trying to be receptive. Probably we bring our patterns of how we approach life into our meditation. So maybe we are quite active, quite willful, trying to make things happen. And maybe actually the action that's needed is to be receptive and open and not try and do that. Or maybe you're somebody that just sort of sits back and doesn't really make much effort, in which case, you know, maybe that's something to work with as well. So there's lots of subtle ways that we can work with our energy and our effort And that's all part of the territory of Mega City. And I'm not going to lead the meditation. Just leave it as an open space. You can do meditation of your choice, or you can just do a period of just sitting and see what emerges. But if you'd like to get yourself into your meditation posture, because after the invocation, we're going to go straight into the mantra and then straight into a sit. So this is an invocation written by an order member called Satchinama. So the image that of the double vajra that you saw when Pranyanita was talking is that is sometimes called the Vishvabhadra. So, and it's seen as a pattern of reality, and we're told that every Buddha is sitting on a double vajra when they get enlightened. And with the fearlessness that Mogacity is associated with, he has this hand gesture or mudra that's called the fearless hand gesture. So it does refer to that as well. So just ring the bell and then I'll do the invocation leading into the mantra. Turning to the north at the midnight hour, I bow to the dark green light that is the Buddha Amoghasiddhi. Master of fearlessness, you appear from a mighty Vishvavajra, the basic pattern of reality. You sit on a pale green lotus, clad in scarlet robes, your body made of mysterious green light. In your left hand sits a golden Vishvavajra, and your right hand is raised, palm outwards, in a gesture of supreme courage. Master of fearlessness, your great love and fearless action transforms the sufferings of the Titans and overcomes the poison of envy. You fear nothing, and so are free to act spontaneously for the benefit of all, accomplishing all good works. Your courage releases the energy caught in the opposites of light and dark, self and other, life and death, and all other conflicts. You are as free as the air element blowing through the forests and around the mountain heights of your northern realm. Master of fearlessness, help me to face my own fear, to look into the darkness of my own mind and transform the demons within. O Amoghasiddhi, help me to be free of restriction, free of fear, free of duality, and release in me the energy of my untamed mind. Om Amoghasiddhi Ahom. Om Amoghasiddhi Ahom. Om Amoghasiddhi Aum. 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 Magasidiahu. Oma Magasidiahu. Oma Magasidiahu. Oma Magasidiahu. Oma Magasidiahu. Oma Magasidiahu. So transitions are also important at the beginning and the end of meditation. So just doing what you need to make that transition. As you end the meditation, knowing that we're getting close to the end of this session, so we'll also be making that other transition from this shared virtual space of the retreat to wherever you are right now, whatever activities you may be going on to, whatever people you may be interacting with. So we've made a start in the retreat, made a connection with Omega City, began that journey into mysterious space and land of Omega City. So over the next couple of days, we will be hopefully getting more acquainted with some of the symbolism, and particularly, as Predinita said, looking at that union of opposites, going beyond the dualities and all the tensions, the way we go from one polarity to another. And seeing if there's that place of unifying them, getting to somewhere beyond that. And we'll also be, you know, starting where we are. So Omega City may be associated with fearlessness and that quality of the Buddha, but we know from the teachings that have been handed down that even the Buddha experienced anxiety and fear. So we'll also be looking at that, you know, how he worked with that, how we can use his example to help us work with our anxiety and our fear as well. Maybe just feeling under the protection of Omega City. So I hope that you have a good evening when we leave. And our next session will be 8 o'clock tomorrow when we have meditation. And it'll be quite simple. You know, we'll be saluting the shrine, doing a few verses, and then just meditation. There'll be a little bit of leading in to settle us in, and then it'll be in silence after that. So I hope to see you tomorrow. 8 o'clock, or if you can't make that, 10:30, when Pranayanita will be well, we'll see where she will take us. But we can go boldly. Where we haven't been before, or maybe down familiar places. But even when we're going down familiar places, sometimes something unexpected, hitherto unknown, may emerge. So we'll see if that happens as well during the retreat. But thank you all very much for coming and for practicing. It's been lovely being with you this evening. Looking forward to the next couple of days as we continue the retreat and getting to know and be with Omega City. So if you want to unmute yourself, say goodbye. If you want to post anything in the chat, feel free. Go well.